From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of August, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets and the trade in Chicago with Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Mike Zuzulo's out of the office today. Emily Heaton, crop scientist, will join us. She's from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, but has some plots in the center part of the state of Iowa and is recently visited there, in fact, is still there today, and has an update on crop conditions in that part of the world for us. And then we'll talk about the weather forecast for the agricultural growing regions across the nation with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible, all on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. And in fact, right now, you can listen to our Commodity Week program recorded yesterday afternoon on that website, willag.org, or if you can stay on our home station for the whole hour today, many of these radio stations over the weekend, you'll hear the program as well. Our guests this week included Mike Zuzulo, along with Matt Bennett, Jerry Golke, and Jackie Vakes.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, September corn today at $5.68 and a quarter on its settlement price, up a penny and a quarter. However, December down a quarter, $5.73 the settlement price. The March contract at $5.79 and a half, down a quarter of a cent as well. September soybeans, $13.73, 26 cents higher. November up 24, $13.65 a bushel the settlement price. In January, $13.69 and a quarter, up 23 and a quarter. The bean meal futures at $3.57.60, up $2.40. And the bean oil at $63.72, $1.47 higher. December wheat futures, 9.5 higher for the soft red at $7.74 and a quarter. The hard red December at $7.55, up 4 and a quarter. And spring in the December at $9.29 and three quarters, 10 and three quarters of a cent higher as it goes into the close. The nearby live cattle futures finished at 128, 12 and a half, 37 and a half lower for the October. Feeder cattle in that contract, 15 cents higher at $165.77 and a half cents per 100 pounds. And October lean hogs at $86.52 and a half cents finished a nickel higher for the afternoon. Gold futures at $1,779.60, up $27.80. The crude oil at $68.51 a barrel, down 58 cents on the afternoon. Diesel fuel at $2.78, 2.5 cents lower. The RBOB, a penny and a half lower, $2.11.4 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 35,425, up 22 points. And the U.S. dollar at 92.51, down 0.528 for the day. Greg Johnson now joins us from the Andersons to discuss the Chicago trade. Thank you, Greg, for being with us for the day. I'd like to start not with this afternoon, but with yesterday. There was apparently a great deal of hedge pressure in the marketplace as the December contract after the USDA report reached up and filled a gap in the daily charts. And it appears that farmers and others decided to hedge the crop. I'm wondering if that took place here in Champaign County at the Andersons.
I think, yes, we did. I think it was a combination of technical filling that chart gap and also fundamentals. Farmers that got rain felt a lot more comfortable selling a little bit bigger percentage now of both corn and soybeans. So we did see a pickup in farmer selling yesterday. And, you know, as most farmers said, why not? These are good prices, and with the kind of yields that they're expecting, it's definitely a profitable level. So we saw a definite uptick in farmer selling, both the day of the report and today, for that matter.
Yeah. So one of the things that those on the program talked about was the idea that yesterday maybe looked a little more disappointing than it might have been, and that today might show more of the true colors as to what was happening in fundamentally in the marketplace. Although maybe you're telling me that there was hedge pressure today because the corn didn't react again today very well, or not much at all. In fact, it seemed to lay flat in respect to the soybeans, which were up 20 or 25 cents.
Yeah, yesterday the corn finished strong and the beans sold off unchanged. Today it was just the opposite. The beans had a good day and the corn, while it did trade 10 cents higher throughout the day, basically finished unchanged. So I think a lot of that is the hedge pressure. And the other thing is the USDA did not change. If they did change, they actually lowered the demand side of the equation. You know, as part of that is to compensate for the drop in the supply side of the equation. I mean, they don't want to have to carry out under a billion bushels this early. But, you know, are we really going to have reduced export demand? I think is a good question to ask, given the fact that South America had, you know, a 250 million bushel lower crop than what we thought they had a few months ago. So, you know, I think part of this is the government just, you know, making the numbers work. But we'll have to wait and see whether the demand, you know, does that in fact pick up throughout the year.
Are you concerned at all looking into the end of the month about the transition from old to new crop? I know you have first half August bids there locally, and then, of course, September, October, November bid for fall delivery. But is there a point at which, and this sometimes happens, the cash market falls off dramatically going into harvest still?
Well, we've seen a little bit of that already. We've seen that first half August bid drop 10-15 cents in both corn and beans already, and every week or 10 days from here on out that'll probably continue to happen would be my guess. You know, the 90 cent premiums will become 75, and then they'll become 50, and then they'll become 30, and eventually we'll get to where old crop and new crop corn and beans are the same price. But that may not happen until closer to the end of September, and until then we see premiums, but just not as big a premiums, because there will be some harvesting taking place, you know, in the southern part of the United States here soon. So some of those premiums will be filled by that supply. So that quick shipment demand will continue to slip away. And we've encouraged farmers to at least get that basis locked in. If they want to hold on to corn and or beans and speculate on the flat price, they can do that. But it's almost a certainty that the basis will get worse, weaker, as we combine old crop and new crop together.
What about for soybeans?
Same situation there. The one difference is with corn, you can always take off wet corn and run it through a dryer, so you can kind of stimulate that demand if you need corn quicker. With beans, you almost have to wait till they're physically ready. So the bean premium may hang around a little bit longer than the corn demand, or than the corn premium will, the quick shipment premium. We'll have to wait and see, but that's the farmers to harvest corn wet and early, but beans, you'll just have to wait till Mother Nature tells you it's ready to go.
One of the things that happened yesterday, and maybe this is just me, but I felt like USDA in its numbers managed to switch this from a supply led rally to something that now focuses on demand, simply because the short crop's built in, if that's the case.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. They, you know, instead of lowering the yield by a bushel a month for the next 5 months, they dropped the five bushels all in 1 month. And so you would think that we probably aren't going to see a bigger, you know, any more reductions in the supply side of the equation unless it just stops raining completely. So, yeah, from here on out, it's going to be focusing on the demand side of the equation. And like I said, you know, they couldn't raise exports, even though most people still happen. But if they would have raised them yesterday, we could have had the carry out down below a billion bushels. And I don't think the USDA wants to send that signal to the market yet. So we're going to keep it at 1.2 for now. But if the demand picks up, continues to expand, the USDA will have no choice but to increase their demand numbers and get that carry out down closer to a billion, if not below a billion.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with the Andersons. Well, as you may recall, most Fridays I join the Illinois Extension Commercial Agriculture team for a discussion of commodity conditions across the state. Today, we heard about the rainfall, of course, in the Gibson City area, some of the wet weather that has taken place in the south, and the very dry conditions in places like Boone and McHenry County, all up along the Wisconsin state line. However, the most interesting thing for me today was the update that Emily Heaton, who is a regenerative ag specialist in crop sciences, gave us about the plots she has near Ames, Iowa, and the drive over there, and what conditions really look like in that part of the world from her perspective.
Still in a D3 drought here in the central Iowa area, but there's been timely rains. The crop, it looks much better than the last time I was here. Checked my fields yesterday. It does look like we have some corn rootworm beetles in our fields in my research plots. The crop generally looks pretty good, but you know, maybe the top 25% didn't pollinate, and there's some uneven pollination after that, but generally it looks a lot better than it should. And the miscanthus that looked terrible last month has some of the highest photosynthetic rates I've ever seen on the crop, and grew another 2 feet after a rain a couple weeks ago. So it's been a surprising season considering how little rainfall we've had. We haven't had the tiles run in 11 months.
That was Emily Heaton. She's a crop scientist from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois and operates some plots outside of Ames, Iowa. Let's take a look at the agricultural weather forecast now with Eric Snodgrass. He's at Nutrien Ag Solutions and AgroBolt. Thank you so much, Eric, for being with us. Much nicer today than it has been for most of the week, by the way.
It really has. I mean, just here yesterday on Thursday, I had over 2.9 inches of my rain gauge here in Mahomet. And that is, that's nothing compared to what we kind of saw around the area. I know just a little bit north of us, like get up toward Gibson City and points around there, there were some places that possibly measured somewhere between 8 and 10 inches of rainfall. And you look back over the last 3 days, I'll tell you two things about it. The heavy rain stretched from Kansas City, where it's flooding this morning, clear to lower Michigan. And we were right in the middle of that. And the second thing is this, that was not well forecast by any of our weather forecast models. We had discussed the front sliding through here at that time and moving really slow. But to see the storms continuing to kind of fire up on that same boundary, and then they did what we call in atmospheric sciences training. They followed one another, like choo-choo train, right? They're all lined up and they keep going over the same spot. And as a result, we had just a tremendous amount of flooding. So I'll be interested to see what the stats show when we get the new data in, how far above normal we are now for this area in terms of precip.
So let's talk a little bit about what happened in that event, because there were places, for instance, Gibson City area, one in Michigan. It looked like maybe in western Illinois into Missouri a little bit that picked up a lot of rainfall. Did it just stall out because Fred was in the south, or is there a reason that this happened?
Well, it stalled out because overall there's not a whole lot of strong upper level flow over us right now. So what tends to move those fronts along are when you have very large gradients in temperature or the winds are strong. We didn't have either. So the boundary, you know, just kind of stopped and storms ran up over the top of it. And boy, did they just dump a tremendous amount of rain, because to be honest, the atmosphere is really juiced right now. It's got plenty of Gulf moisture to work with. And on top of that, it's got plenty of evaporation coming from the maturing crop. And you ask about Fred, you know, tropical depression Fred, as it is this morning here on Friday, it's really got ripped apart by some higher wind shear values, but also just going over the island of Hispaniola and too close to Cuba. And just going over land tends to weaken these things. But Fred's not really a player yet for what we're dealing with, but it will be in the southeast coming up very shortly, that's for sure.
Well, tell me about the coming week.
Yeah. So first thing we're going to watch is that frontal boundary that came through us. It's going to continue to sag toward the south. So we're going to be looking at some heavy rain in parts of the Tennessee and Ohio Valley, and that's going to just keep moving through the mid-south. And it's going to eventually meet up with Fred, who is probably by Saturday, tomorrow, going to be sitting over the Florida Keys, and then by Saturday night into Sunday morning, going across the panhandle of Florida. Now, this is down in the Cotton Belt, but that's going to dump some heavy rain through Alabama, Georgia, and then go up toward the Appalachian Mountains, and eventually put down some heavy rain over there in parts of the Carolinas and Virginia. And remember, there's quite a bit of drought right now in the state of Virginia and West Virginia. But we get out of this, you know, here in Illinois, relatively scot-free. We got cooler temperatures, lower dew points, nicer weather coming in. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to take advantage of it here. I think I'm going to head over to the state fair on Sunday and check things out over there. because it'll be a nice one for the weekend weather around here. But as you know, things always change as they do, and I'm expecting change as we go into week two.
I know I will for sure be at the Illinois State Fair on Tuesday. I'm probably going to be there on Sunday as well. Should be a great week to be there. Sale of Champions is on Tuesday. I'll be there for that event. By the way, if folks want to follow along, you can check that out on my at Commodity Week Twitter Tuesday afternoon around probably 5 o'clock, maybe a little bit later than that. That'll be up on the website too at willag.org. Now, let's look a little further out. Farm Progress Show is at the end of the month. And, of course, harvest will begin not far after that. What do things look like for the end of August and the beginning of September?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something about Tuesday. I mean, we can just look that close. And what's going to happen is the Northern Plains might finally be getting some much-needed rainfall. So there's a bit of a pattern shift coming through. We might warm back up here, but the Northern Plains could get some storms. And that kind of leads us into a bigger discussion, like you said, about what's the rest of August going to do and what about September? And then let's talk harvest. And so I'll say this about the weather forecast models. They are very generous with the rainfall. They're opening up the Gulf. They're bringing through, you know, decent lifting mechanisms or triggers like weak fronts. And they've got it quite stormy throughout much of the Midwest, much of the plains, even the Northern Plains and the upper Midwest as we go into the month of September. And September is looking to be stormy. And then don't forget, we have the wild card in there of tropical systems, right? Behind Fred, there's even another tropical system we're watching that could get over, you know, the Greater Antilles by the time we get through early next week. So what I would say at this point is, until I have evidence to overturn it, I would tend to agree that the models are probably right, that there's going to be quite a bit of thunderstorm activity going through our next 4 to 6 weeks. Unfortunately, storms miss certain folks. And will the models nail this completely right? No, they won't. But we won't be able to see those inadequacies in their forecast until we get into the closer time period. But it looks like we could go through a wetter time here. And then the big question you asked about harvest, well, every long-range model at this point is biting into this developing La Nina. And history would tell us that if there aren't any big pushes of tropical moisture from a tropical system, that developing La Nina in fall is a good thing for that October and early November rainfall. And what I mean by that is it tends to be drier, which allows us to get that crop out of the ground a little easier. Now, that correlation is low. It's not like 0.9. It's closer to about 0.3. But there is a positive correlation in there to use. And I think I'm going to be watching that carefully, because if it pans out, we could have a decent harvest time period should La Nina dominate the pattern.
You know, we'll take it right now. We'll just take that. That sounds good.
Yeah. I don't think we need another drop of rain here for a while.
Indeed. Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.